News. Election wins give Republicans control of the U.S. Senate, and Sudan and South Sudan say they'll begin to mark out their disputed border areas. I'm Frances Alonzo reporting from Washington. Republicans have captured control of the U.S. Senate and expanded their edge in the House of Representatives, giving them a majority in both houses of Congress for the final 2 years of President Barack Obama's presidency. Democrats held 55 of the Senate's 100 seats before Tuesday's midterm elections. However, Republicans gained at least 7 seats. A third of the Senate was up for re-election Tuesday, including the Kentucky seat held by Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky.
It was about a government that people no longer trust to carry out its most basic duties, to keep them safe, to protect the border, to provide dignified and quality care for our veterans.
You can read more on all the election results at voanews.com. The presidents of Sudan and South Sudan said Tuesday they will begin marking out their disputed border areas. Sudan's Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says the two countries will set up a joint committee to oversee the demarcation.
The talks will start next week, but we think that if the Sudan efforts for making the two parties coming closer and talk together and finish the war now in the South, this will waken up all other fights and problems.
Again, that is the Sudanese Information Minister Ahmed Bilal. Israeli police say a Palestinian man has rammed a car into a crowd of pedestrians in Jerusalem in a deliberate attack that injured 10 people, including at least 3 police officers. A local hospital says one of the officers later died. Police shot the attacker. This is VOA News. 3 West African leaders are in Burkina Faso to push army leaders to honor their pledge to hand over power to a civilian transitional government. Ghana's President John Mahama, Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan, and Senegalese President Macky Sall arrived in the capital of Ouagadougou on Wednesday. The presidents are expected to meet with Burkina Faso's interim leader, that is Lieutenant Colonel Isaac Zida, as well as other leaders of the opposition. Ukraine today announced that it will halt government funding to its eastern regions controlled by Russian-backed separatists. The Prime Minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, said today the cutoff will apply as long as the territories of Donetsk and Luhansk are held by terrorists. Mr. Yatsenyuk, who made his comments during a cabinet meeting, said the government would continue to supply gas and electricity to the area. North Korea's continued pursuit of nuclear weapons may not be on the official agenda of the upcoming Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, or the East Asia Summit. However, VOA's Seoul correspondent Brian Padden reports that it will almost certainly be addressed.
APEC's 21 members, including the United States, Russia, China, Japan, and South Korea, will meet next week in Beijing. Following that, the East Asia Summit, hosted by the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, known as ASEAN, will be held in Myanmar. North Korea is not a member of either organization, but Kim Han Kwon, the director of regional studies at the Asan Institute for Policy Studies in Seoul, says the North's nuclear weapons program will surely be addressed at these summits. The discussions could have added urgency with media reports out of South Korea this week, alleging that the North has started a new uranium enrichment plant at its main nuclear facility. Brian Padden, VOA News, Seoul.
Just days before U.S. President Barack Obama travels to China for a regional summit, a prominent state-run newspaper called the Global Times there is accusing him of being an ineffective leader who's done an insipid job in office. The editorial was published hours before President Obama's Democratic Party lost control of the U.S. Senate. President Obama is due in Beijing next week for an Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, where he's expected to hold one-on-one meetings with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. Mexican police have detained a fugitive ex-mayor and his wife, who are suspected of being the masterminds behind the disappearance of 43 teaching students in September. Federal officers arrested José Luis Abarca and his wife Tuesday in a house in Mexico City. I'm Frances Alonzo in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Coming up on The Voice of America, English teaching and learning English. We begin with our English teaching programs, New Dynamic English and Functioning in Business. At 1:30 Universal Time, you'll hear the new Learning English magazine show, As It Is, followed by The Health Report and the Learning English program, Explorations. Thank you for listening to VOA.
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello, my name is Kathy.
Welcome to New Dynamic English.
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture. Today's unit is, How long is her lesson?
Hi, Max. How are you today?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm okay.
Who's our guest today?
Today's guest is Colette Harris.
John's sister?
That's right. She's John's sister. She's going to tell us about her daily schedule.
Sounds good.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is Colette Harris. Hi, Colette.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
You and your brother John both go to high school, don't you?
That's right.
Who's older, you or John?
I am. I'm 2 years older than John. He's 16 and I'm 18.
Tell me, who gets up first, you or John?
John does. He gets up first. He usually gets up at 6:15. I get up 15 minutes later at 6:30.
How about breakfast? Do you eat together?
We all eat breakfast together, John and I, Mom, and Dad.
And then what? What happens after breakfast?
Well, John leaves the house first. He leaves at 7:30. I don't leave until 8 o'clock. School starts at 8:45.
Okay, thank you, Colette. Our guest today is Colette Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
Colette is 18 years old. John is 16 years old. Colette is older than John. John gets up at 6:15. Colette gets up at 6:30. John gets up earlier than Colette. John leaves the house at 7:30. Colette leaves the house at 8. John leaves the house earlier than Colette.
Interview.
Our guest today is Colette Harris. I understand you're a musician, Colette.
Yeah, but not like my mom. She's really good.
You play the violin, right?
Yes, I'm studying violin.
How often do you practice?
I practice every day, for about an hour.
Do you practice at school?
No, I don't. I practice at home, after school. After school, I come home and practice from 4:30 to 5:30.
Are you taking lessons?
Yes, I have a lesson once a week.
When is that?
My lesson is on Tuesday afternoons at 4 o'clock.
How do you get there? How do you get to your lesson?
My mom usually drives me, but sometimes I go by bus.
How long is the lesson?
It lasts an hour, until 5 o'clock. from 4 to 5.
Is your teacher good?
Yes, I have a great teacher.
So you're very busy.
Yes, I guess I am.
Our guest today is Colette Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
She practices the violin every day for 1 hour, from 4:30 to 5:30. How often does she practice? She practices every day. When does she start practicing? She starts practicing at 4:30. When does she stop practicing? She stops practicing at 5:30. How long does she practice? She practices for an hour. She has a violin lesson once a week from 4 to 5. How often does she have a lesson? She has a lesson once a week. What time does the lesson start? The lesson starts at 4 o'clock. What time does the lesson finish? The lesson finishes at 5 o'clock. How long does the lesson last? It lasts an hour.
Telephone.
We're back with our guest, Colette Harris. Colette is a high school student and she studies violin. Now let's take a phone call. Hello. You're on the air with New Dynamic English.
Hello, my name is Peter. I'm from North Carolina. I have a question for Colette.
Yes, go ahead.
What do you do on the weekend?
Well, on Saturdays, I like to do things with my friends. Sometimes we go shopping. Sometimes we play tennis or just talk.
What about Sundays? What do you do on Sundays?
I usually spend Sundays with my family. Sometimes we go to church. On Sunday nights, we usually have a big family dinner. And then I do my homework.
Thank you for calling.
Listen and answer. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Colette is 18 years old. John is 16 years old. Who is older? Colette is. Colette is older than John. John gets up at 6:15. Colette gets up at 6:30. Who gets up earlier? John does. John gets up earlier than Colette. After school, Colette practices from 4:30 to 5:30. How long does she practice? For an hour. She practices for an hour. Her violin lesson starts at 4 o'clock. Her violin lesson finishes at 5 o'clock. How long does her lesson last? An hour. It lasts an hour.
Daily Dialogue. A Dinner Reservation, Part 2. Listen to the conversation.
Good evening, Starlight Cafe.
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for this evening.
For how many people?
4 people.
And at what time?
8 o'clock.
Yes, we have a table at that time. Could I have your name?
Yes, it's Sarah Johnson.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Listen and repeat.
Yes, we have a table at that time. Could I have your name?
Yes, it's Sarah Johnson.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Man on the Street.
This is the new dynamic English Man on the Street, Kent Moss. Today I'm standing near the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. A lot of people are getting onto a tour bus. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes?
Where are you going?
We're going to Mount Vernon.
George Washington's home?
That's right. I'm very interested in George Washington.
How long does it take to get there?
To Mount Vernon? Oh, it's not very far. It's about 15 miles from Washington. It takes about half an hour by bus.
What do you want to see at Mount Vernon?
I want to see George Washington's house and the beautiful gardens, and his farm. I also want to learn more about George Washington's life.
How long does it take to see everything at Mount Vernon?
Oh, it takes about 2 or 3 hours.
Well, have a good time at Mount Vernon.
Thank you. I'm sure we will.
A question for you.
Now here's a question for you.
Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Do you like violin music? Really?
Well, our time is up. So until next time, this is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.
That's it, folks. We're done.
Well, I've got to go. I'm leaving early today.
Oh, okay, Max. What's up?
Today is my son John's birthday. We're having a birthday party this afternoon after school.
That's great. How old is he?
He's 8 years old.
So have you got the birthday cake yet?
Well, my wife is baking the birthday cake, and she's putting up the decorations. I have to pick up the other stuff on the way home. I have to get some candles for the birthday cake.
It's not a birthday if you don't have candles on the birthday cake.
And there's the rest of the food. Pizza and ice cream. And I've got to pick up some movies, too.
Wow, you'd better get moving then.
All right, then. See you later.
Now, English teaching continues on VOA.
Quiet, please, everyone. Ready for functioning in business. Cue music.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture. Today's unit is Confirming Plans, Part 5. This program focuses on disagreeing politely. Interview.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mr. Mike Epstein. We'll be speaking with Mr. Epstein by phone from his office in San Jose, California. Welcome, Mr. Epstein. On our last program, we spoke with Ms. Graham about your meeting on June 11th.
Yes, we met together after my meeting with Mr. Blake. I was very impressed with Mr. Blake's company, but Ms. Graham had some doubts.
She told us that she was concerned about after-sales service and about the October deadline.
Yes, she was quite concerned about those issues, and I was confident that we would be able to work things out.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Dialogue. Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham are meeting in Ms. Graham's office.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility.
I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Variations. Listen to these variations.
I think that we can work things out with him.
I think we can work with him to find a solution.
As long as it's clear to both of you.
As long as you both understand.
I understand your reservations.
I can see why you don't agree.
I think we really have to go ahead with this.
I really think this is the right thing to do. Interview.
So Ms. Graham still had doubts about Mr. Blake's ability to meet the deadline.
Yes, she did. I knew she was worried that Mr. Blake's company would not be able to install the robots on time, by the October deadline.
But you disagreed.
Yes, I was very impressed by the quality of the industrial robots. I knew that Mr. Blake's company had the best technology, and I saw that Mr. Blake was very flexible. I was sure he could deliver on time.
What about after-sales service?
Again, I felt that we could work out a solution with Mr. Blake.
Thank you very much for being on our show. Your comments have been very interesting.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Questions. Listen to the question.
What does Mr. Epstein think about the quality of Mr. Blake's robots?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October, because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
What does Mr. Epstein think about the quality of Mr. Blake's robots? He thinks the technology of their product is excellent.
Listen to the question.
Does Ms. Graham agree to purchase Mr. Blake's robots?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Does Ms. Graham agree to purchase Mr. Blake's robots? No, she doesn't. She says they will discuss it again tomorrow.
Culture tips.
Hello, and welcome again to Culture Tips. Gary Engledon, our business language expert, is here with us again.
Welcome, everybody.
We have an email question about communicating with bosses. The question is, sometimes I hear American workers arguing with their bosses. Is this normal in American companies?
Well, I would say that good bosses encourage their subordinates to disagree with them.
Why is that?
Well, think about it. Let's say that the boss is going to make a new policy. A subordinate feels strongly that the new policy will cause big problems. If the subordinate is right, the boss will look very bad.
I think that I understand. The subordinate can help the boss by keeping him or her from doing something stupid.
Yes, that's it exactly. That's why good bosses want their subordinates to tell them when they are wrong. Of course, the bosses want to hear strong facts and reasons to support the disagreement.
So they only want intelligent disagreement.
Yes, good bosses want to listen to different opinions and then make a decision. But there are limits.
What kind of limits?
Well, after the final decision is made, everyone has to support it, even the people who disagreed with it. If they don't support it, there will be a really bad atmosphere in the office.
So it's okay to disagree before the decision is made, but afterwards you have to be quiet.
Yes.
Well, once again, we've learned a lot. Thanks, Gary.
My pleasure.
Business Dialogue.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. Henry is talking to Amy about their project schedule.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. If we can keep everyone working for 3 or 4 more days, we'll be able to complete it on time. Then they can take a break for a day or two.
I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going for 3 or 4 more days.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried. They're stronger than you think, and they know the importance of this deadline. Let's help them get through it, okay?
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Focus on functions. Disagreeing politely.
Now let's focus on disagreeing politely. Here are some expressions which will help you disagree politely.
Listen and repeat.
I can understand your concern, but... I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished. I hope you're right, but... I hope you're right, but I don't know if they can keep going. I understand what you're saying, but... I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried.
Gary's Tips.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to disagree politely.
In business, it is sometimes necessary to disagree, even with your boss.
When you disagree, it's important to recognize the other person's feeling. In American business or social situations, it is very impolite to say directly, "You're wrong." Instead, you should use expressions for polite disagreement, as we hear in today's business dialogue. It is always a good idea to show that you understand the other person's position. For example, Amy says to Henry that she can understand his concern.
I'm really worried about the team. They're working so much that they're too tired to think clearly. I think we've got to give them a couple of days off.
I can understand your concern, but the project is almost finished.
In a similar way, Mr. Epstein shows that he understands Ms. Graham's position.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent.
Even if you don't agree with people, you should let them know that you understand their idea. Here is an example from the business dialogue.
Henry, I understand what you're saying, but I think that you're a bit too worried.
If you want to resolve a disagreement and find the best solution, you want to keep communication open. The best way to do this is to treat the other person with respect. Using the expressions we've discussed today is one way to show this respect for the other person's ideas. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
For additional study materials, visit the Dined International website at dined.com. That's dyned.com.